Still looking for that perfect gift to give Drake for his bar mitzvah from 1999? The place to go is Amazon.com. Amazon's got the best deals on everything you need, and you help support Rob Has a Podcast when you start your shopping at robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here with another SNL recap, and this week we're going to talk about the SNL with Drake from January 18, 2014, first SNL of the new year, and here with me as always, our SNL expert, here he is, it's Rich Tackenberg.
Hello, Rob.
Rich, how are you?
I am well, I am very well.
Yes, and happy new year.
Thank you.
Podcast of 2014, and this is going to be a very fun I don't know what to call the month that if I watched The Bachelor, I would call it Wanuary. Then I watched football commercials all day yesterday, and Subway told me to call it Janu-any. So I don't know what to call this month, but it's going to be a big SNL-filled month that we've got Drake here, and then we're going to have Melissa McCarthy. Then we're going to have Jonah Hill, and then Melissa McCarthy, which I think that one is technically in February.
Yes, Super Bowl Sunday, but still three big shows in a row.
Yeah, and that Melissa McCarthy show could be really crazy because the Super Bowl is in New York, and there's going to be a million celebrities in New York that week. So I would expect a ton of cameos for the Melissa McCarthy SNL.
Yes, I think that you're right. Yeah. Now, if it's a million sports cameos, I have no interest.
Well, all the celebrities, I feel like, go to the Super Bowl anyway.
Right. No, you're probably right.
Yeah. So that's going to be a very fun. And so we kick things off with Drake. And Rich, let me ask you, are you a fan of the Drizzy Drake?
Now, this is going to be a huge surprise to you, Rob, but I do not have a deep love of rap and hip hop music, which
what?
I know is a shock. So Drake was never really on my radar other than maybe a Grammy performance or on like a Letterman or something. So listening to his musical performances Saturday night, I would say I continued to be not a fan. Also must admit I did not watch Degrassi The Next Generation. So I'm 0-2 for Mr. Aubrey Graham.
Yeah, I'm a little bit in the same boat. I think the Degrassi was a little, I was a little early to on the Degrassi. I think I just missed it. And then it seemed like Degrassi is a little bit like a Saved by the Bell for the people that were like, 5 or 6 years younger than me.
Right.
So unfortunately, I missed out on that. And then, I am a fan of some of the musical stylings of Drake, but really just for like when I'm listening to Spotify, I hear a song like, oh, I like that. Who is that? Oh, that was Drake. Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So here we go. So here comes Drake, and we get kickstarted with, I know, one of your favorites, Piers Morgan.
Oh boy, here's the catch-all. We got a couple of news stories that we want to catch up on, but we don't have a great take on either of them. So Taryn Killam puts on the wig to do a, the catch-all. Let's do round robin, couple of quick news stories. So, never my favorite, but there was definitely some funny here.
So we had Chris Christie, we had A-Rod, and then we had Justin Bieber. So three kind of funny stories that are happening in the news.
Right.
Seems like three stories that seem ripe for parody.
And I thought, for some reason, I don't know why, I was not a huge fan of Bobby Moynihan doing Chris Christie.
Yeah.
I expected that this was going to be knock it out of the ballpark, and I found myself to be a little bored. I thought the writing was kind of fun, not great. But I didn't – I hate to say the love of my life, Bobby M., but I wasn't loving this.
I was thinking about this as well because I didn't think it was super funny either. Is Bobby Moynihan bad when he's doing impressions? What is the best Bobby Moynihan impression?
Guy Fieri?
And is that really that good? I don't know.
No, he is definitely in the school of Will Ferrell of, I don't go for accuracy, I go for making a fun character and just sort of going for it. I'm probably wrong, but that's what I like about him. Like, his snooki is not necessarily dead on, but it's still a very fun snooki. So this didn't have that same magic for me, I thought.
Yeah, I was thinking about who his impressions are. I guess he does Chris Christie. He can do snooki. Who else has he done before?
He's done Newt Gingrich. Boy, who else has he done? He's not really a big impressions guy.
Yeah. I think he's better when he's a character as opposed to doing impressions.
I agree with that. Yes.
Yeah. He's basically, I guess, would you say that he is the anti-Jay Farrow?
He's the
Bizarro
polar
Jay
opposite.
Yeah.
Now, we did like when he did the Toronto mayor, although that almost, I think, as we said, felt like him doing a Chris Farley impression of doing a character.
Yeah. Okay. So then we had A-Rod here. Now, Drake as A-Rod. Now, I know you always are excited when you see the host before the monologue.
Yes,
here.
Very surprising. This is a huge anointment of confidence in Drake that they're putting him in the cold open. I can't tell you whether or not he did a good A-Rod or a bad A-Rod. I thought it was deaf because I don't know A-Rod, but seemed pretty competent, and I thought very funny writing to this piece.
Yeah, I thought he did an okay A-Rod. I wasn't really blown away. As somebody who knows what A-Rod sounds like, I wasn't blown away with what A-Rod had to say. I thought that the writing was pretty funny, though.
Yes, I like that he wanted to sue steroids for being in him, and he wanted to sue his iPhone because of autocorrect. All that stuff was very funny.
Yeah, the autocorrect of the emoji of steroid needle equals my butt. Yeah, that was pretty good. But then I thought the best of the three was Kate McKinnon as Justin Bieber.
Didn't you feel like the minute they cut to Kate McKinnon, the show started? That's I had that literal feeling of like, oh, we're on the air now. Now we're doing a show. And the writing of this bit was probably the least funny. There wasn't a lot in it that was particularly funny from a writing standpoint. But just McKinnon was just killing it. She was so good. I just was like, oh, she really is becoming the MVP of the show for me.
More Kate McKinnon as Justin Bieber, please.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, less and Justin Bieber.
And if SNL is proving anything, we will probably see her do Justin Bieber by the Melissa McCarthy episode.
Good, good. I loved it. And that was great. And so then we get into the show and we get into our monologue here with Drake talking about a few different things. But most notably, he's talking about that he is an African-American and he is also Jewish.
Yes. Did not know that about the man.
Yeah, I did know that. And but it seems like that the writers really were very excited about this fact.
Yeah. So what was your general take on Drake? Because I had a couple of thoughts, but I just want to get your overall take before we talk about the individual sketches that he was in.
Sure.
Because reading the internet, I feel like I'm on a very different page.
I thought Drake was really great. I thought that he did a wide variety of things. He was asked to do a lot, unlike Lady Gaga a couple of weeks ago, who was on the show but barely did anything throughout the entire 90-minute show. I felt like Drake really, was asked to do a wide variety of things, although I didn't think that the sketches themselves were particularly great this week. But I thought that Drake was very good. And much like the same way we talked about Bruno Mars maybe a year and a half ago, I feel like that Drake would be a great second-time host.
So I'm going to take a very contrary opinion to that, and I feel bad saying this, but it's surprised. I realize I am in the minority. I thought that Drake was very good at all the things he was asked to do, and clearly he committed 110% even when sketches were bombing. But within that, I just never felt that he was great. I never saw a spark the way that I saw from Bruno Mars. I mean, clearly he was better than Lady Gaga, and I don't want to knock him. But I have to say I would not want to see Drake return again, because I think if we did, we'd have another episode where we say, boy, he was good, but the show wasn't good, and it must have been the writing. And I don't think it was the writing. I think that some of the sketches were terrible, but some of the sketches were pretty good, and he just had a he was sort of like the Nassim Pedrad of guest hosts for me. Very good, very competent, very game, but not that X factor that makes somebody, a Justin Timberlake, contender.
All right. Well, as we go through it, give me the examples where you feel like that it was the fault of Drake where something wasn't working. And we'll see if we can sort of get to the bottom of this as we go through it piece by piece. So let's talk about the monologue here, which I felt like had some funny jokes, but I have to say I did feel like I thought it was a lot of the stereotypical you know, jokes, I felt like a little were tired.
Yes. Yeah. I thought this was okay. You know, Keenan was probably more fun. It was nice to see John Milheiser get actual lines and not be the waiter or the roommate in a sketch. But other than that, and I didn't think that Drake's performance singing his big song, which was not terribly well written, I thought the performance was very mediocre as well. I didn't feel like he brought something to it that kind of gave it an edge that I'm going to remember this.
Now, the other big story about this week on Saturday Night Live was that it was the debut of our new African-American cast member,
which Noelle Wells.
No.
It wasn't her debut this week?
No.
Okay. All right.
So we have a new African-American cast member, and her name is Sasheer Zamata.
Zamata.
Yes. Okay, I'll underline one of those A's.
Yeah.
So she is the new cast member, and really in the media, very, very big deal. Everybody made a big fuss over her, almost as if we've never had an African-American cast member on SNL before.
Well, I guess 5 in 39 seasons is a pretty low number. So that's, you know, that's something to say. But, you know, I definitely feel like, and you and I have spoken about this before, I feel like this was a media story, not a story that SNL fans cared about, that the actual people at SNL cared about other than putting the story to bed. But that said, I'm glad she was hired. And I think, as we'll see in some of the sketches, her presence, I thought, really added to what the show could do and where they could go, even though she herself seemed very good but wasn't given anything to do this week. So, you know, was just sort of a, you know, typical, and probably was given more than a featured player's first episode, but still didn't necessarily do anything particularly big yet, but that more to come.
Did you have in your SNL pool that the first word spoken by Sasheer Zamata would be Mazel Tov? Did you have that?
Did not see that one coming for a million years, that's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So did you also feel like the monologue was just an extension of Jacob the Bar Mitzvah boy?
You know, it's funny you say that. I almost, obviously knowing that Kate McKinnon, Vanessa Bayer played the mom, took this away, but I would have loved to have seen Drake and Jacob the Bar Mitzvah boy together. I thought that could have saved it with a little fun together. The two of them sort of playing off each other would have been very fun.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. Then we go. Yeah. Okay. So then we come back from the monologue and we get into our first real sketch, and we have a hip hop classics before they were stars.
Yes.
What did you think of this, Rich?
Again, I am not a huge hip hop fan, so I can't tell you if these were, you know, how these were overall. But at the same time, I also, some of the shows they were making fun of are a little after my time. This, I don't know, it really did not do much for me.
I thought it was a cute idea, but it felt like a little weird. Did you find it odd that it was like Keenan was hosting the sketch, but then also like throwing it to packages with himself in the packages? Did you find that odd?
Yes, and given Keenan's incredibly lame ability to do impressions, there were times where like his Flavor Flav was the same as his Sway. So you could like sort of coming in and out was sort of like, oh, it's the same person. That's very odd. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I thought that was and the timing of it was also odd. So yes, I agree.
Yeah, I was thinking about this after the fact. Like I felt like they could have spaced out the M&M sketch probably in the middle. The problem was that was probably like the least outrageous of any of those packages, so being in the middle, that might have been, but I felt like it would have broken it up better.
It's funny you say that. I had the exact same thought, which is I bet that in the run through that piece was in the middle to sort of break it up a little bit. But I thought that was clearly what felt like the best impression and the funniest take on something that wasn't really obvious. So I think that they were like, oh, no, we have to kick this sketch off with that just to really kind of come out of the gate flying. So I agree with you. I think that was definitely done intentionally.
And then I thought that Keenan, while he did not do a good impression of, I believe his name is Reginald Van Johnson, who was the dad on Family Matters.
Was that the guy that was in the first Die Hard movie?
Yes, he was. I thought he looked a lot like Carl Winslow. I thought that was a good job.
Okay.
And then I don't know much about this Rick Ross character, except I know that he seems to be logging a lot of time on SNL lately.
Yeah, that I guess he's funny in that world. I can't tell.
I guess so.
I did like the joke about Sway when they said, like, you know, oh, if you are black, you know me from the morning show, whatever it was. And if you're white, you know me from my hat. And I was like, that's exactly right. That's how I know you from that hat.
What about the Rihanna Blossom? Did you think that was funny?
Well, it made me laugh. Again, we see Sasheer in getting some prominent role as a feature player. She definitely fell into the A.D. Bryant school of you're doing an impression by just looking like the person and not actually saying or really doing anything.
Yeah.
So, she certainly – that didn't remind me of Rihanna at all other than, you know, I liked the little bit of the smoke at the end. I liked everybody else as the Blossom characters. I liked that instead of, you know, replacing them with other people, they just kept it as Joey Lawrence and everyone. And also that all made me laugh.
Yeah. And then we also had 2 Chainz, which I was not aware of his work either.
Yes, I know the name 2 Chainz, that I didn't didn't do anything for me.
Yeah. Was there any other ones? Jay-Z on Mr. Wizard, which was fun.
Yes. Yeah, that was definitely cute. Mr. Wizard at least was my generation. And I guess Drake doing an Urkel Lil Wayne combo, you know, we thought was definitely competent. Nothing special, but definitely cute. But I thought him shooting the fridge was, from a writing standpoint, kind of exactly what I would expect.
Okay. And then who's does better, Jay-Z, Jay Pharoah or Drake?
You know, I should not be called upon to the subtleties of Mr. Jay-Z. If I were going to call it, I would say that's a Jay Pharoah thing.
I'm going to give it to Jay Pharoah too.
Yeah.
Okay. So then we come back and we have Nancy Grace live. Has SNL touched on Nancy Grace before?
So Amy Poehler had done Nancy Grace a number of times, a very inaccurate impression, but very funny. My personal favorite was Abby Elliott had done Nancy Grace once or twice in the short time she was with the show, and that was my favorite. I thought Abby Elliott did a very good job. Now, admittedly, I don't watch a lot of Nancy Grace, again, so I can't give you an accurate description. I did not love Noelle Wells in this, and I'm still – and I say this with love and hope. I still don't quite get that why Noelle Wells was brought on as an impressionist, and we have yet to see an impression that I feel like she's done as good or better than a prior cast member.
But let me just ask you one question. But what about the babies?
Yeah, I don't. Okay. Maybe that's a thing. I don't know.
And very anti-pot also.
Yes. Yeah. That doesn't surprise me.
Okay.
I did like the line that she started with, which is something like, I'm Nancy Grace, and yes, I've already made up my mind. I thought that was well written.
Yeah. What is Nancy Grace on? CNN?
HLN.
Basically the channel.
The CNN spinoff, yeah.
The channel that's on at airports and maybe your gym?
Exactly, yes.
Okay, so we had the people who are baking cupcakes in Denver and Cat Williams. Didn't seem super topical.
No. Yeah. And I thought, again, Kate McKinnon, the best. It's just very good. I feel like we've seen her do urban mom-ish character, then go into this Walter White thing. I feel like we've seen her kind of play this move on some of her Weekend Update characters.
Yeah.
But I still loved it. I think she took decent lines when she's like, when they asked her if she's pro-pot, and she's like, last week I made $650,000. She delivered that so well. I thought she was really good.
Yeah. Most notably when she was Hillary Clinton and it was supposed to be the Breaking Bad parody.
Oh, right. Exactly.
All right. So, Rich, whenever there's 2 things in sort of a news segment, I ask the question, do you think that there was a third thing that got cut?
That's a good question. Although the Cat Williams thing went pretty long. So, yeah, you might be right. Although if they did, I think they made the right call because it would have gone way too long with the third person.
Okay. So then we come out of this and we go into another music video. And this one is called Resolution Revolution, which I didn't really get the name of. But sure, we'll go with it. Resolution Revolution. What was your take on this?
You know, I really liked the first maybe 15, 20 seconds of this. I thought, this is interesting. It's different. I like the look of it. I like that they're making a take on, on New Year's resolutions. And then Taron Killam kind of goes into the, like, he's talking about the sugar. And then he starts eating the donuts like he's breaking his resolution. And I was like, okay, that's cute. And then the rest of the sketch just felt like, we're just doing the same thing over over and over again. So it kind of got boring for me, although I did like the cosplay at the end. But other than that, it kind of lost me. I don't think I liked it as much as most other people.
Yeah, I thought there were funny moments in this, but I also felt like it was a little without a real strong premise. Like there was like the couple of things that were outrageous when Jay Farrow is going to quit sex toys. That was funny. And right. Then the LARPing, obviously, that was funny. But, Jen, you know, there's sort of like a point where it's like gambling. And then we're just like cut to a shot of like people playing craps. And it's like, you know, just a bunch of things where it was like that. Well, that's not actually a joke. That's just like, you know, you say you're going to give that up a resolution and then cut to like even the Drake drinking, you know, that wasn't super funny. So stylistically, it looked really cool. But yes. I felt like it seemed like they were trying to recapture, you know, when the Do It On My Twin Bed success.
Yes. Yeah. And it definitely did not have that heat. It did not have the heat of a lot of the music videos they've done. So I think it was cute and I enjoyed it, but it is forgettable and we will not be talking about it past today.
Okay. And so then we have the big sleepover sketch where we had a baby 80. Had the hots for Mr. Drake.
And I thought, here was an interesting sketch where, again, just having the presence of Shasheer in the cast allows us to do this sketch. So while she, as an actress, was not given anything big to do and what she was given, she did fine. But you couldn't have done this sketch. You would have had to have waited for a white male host of the show in order to do this sketch. So I liked the sort of like, okay, now that we have a black female cast member again, we can sort of open up the aperture on what we can do when we have a black host. So that was good. That being said, I am going to again go against the grain of, I think, what I've been reading on the internet. I liked the sketch a lot. I thought 80 Brian was really funny. I thought it was really stupid. You know, I thought Drake, again, was very competent, but there was never a laugh on him, and I think a better actor would have gotten laughs with that character. But still, I don't know, made me laugh.
I really did not like it. I thought it was particularly bad when I watched it on Saturday night, and then I rewatched it again yesterday, and I was warmer to it. But yeah, I felt like it just seemed like the sort of thing where it just seemed like a sort of a thrown together sort of sketch. It did not seem like it was that funny of a premise that there was a sleepover party and one of the girls wanted to sleep with the dad.
Okay.
I thought there was a few funny lines, I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. What about the turn that she was actually in a coma for 12 years?
I thought that was funny. Very stupid, but very funny. I thought it was a good 80 Bryant character. I suspect we will see this again.
Okay.
This character, yeah.
I like Drake's line also when she's like, don't call my mom, my mom's a bitch. And he's like, I called her the moment I met you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I also liked it when she said she misses chips.
Yes, that was my favorite line. That might have been my favorite line of the night. That was very funny.
Okay, and I don't know if I'll be able to look at a beanbag chair the same way.
Oh, 80.
Baby 80. All right. Yeah. So then after the sleepover sketch, then we had our first musical performance from Drake, which I believe he sang two songs here. And I'm reading this. That's
yes.
Not for me. He sang Started from the Bottom and then went into Trophies.
Yes, which I also liked that they gave a leg up. They gave an opportunity to my junior high lighting department from the theater department that at my school. I was just very odd. Oh, these are the red songs. Later on, we had the blue songs. It just seemed really, really odd to me.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Well, that. Yeah. Congratulations to the Elmont High School, Junior High School.
So good for them. Yeah. Yeah. So again, I did listen to the songs. I have to say, I did start fast forwarding about three quarters of the way through. I just did nothing for me. So what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So then we go to Weekend Update, And we had some funny stuff here, I thought, in the weekend update. So I love the Jacqueline Bisset stuff. I thought that was great.
Yes, that was very good. Yes. It's just, and I like, you know, Vanessa really has the ability to not rush and to just really milk the moment and really kind of luxuriate in the awkwardness and it's just all of that stuff. And I love that it was all real audience members around her. So you had that kind of fun live element of people like, we're on TV right now. So everything about it was just fun. I loved it a lot.
Yeah, that was very funny. Then we had a return for Arianna Huffington.
Yeah, I always like Arianna Huffington. It's not an MVP weekend update. She's never going to make the power rankings. but to me, always kind of funny. I just, you know, not the funniest writing of Arianna Huffington showing up, but overall pretty good.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah. I mean, I always just go and say, why does this have to be Arianna Huffington? But sure.
Yeah.
And then any other jokes that jump out to you from Weekend Update?
You know, nothing specifically. I thought this was better joke-wise than a couple of the other episodes, but I don't remember anything specifically that stood out to me as a good joke.
Yeah. And so do you think that at the there's two more updates left for Seth?
Yeah, I got to imagine that he stays through the Super Bowl episode, and then I got to imagine that he's gone.
Oh, my God. Only two yeah. Only two more.
Yeah. How do you think so far, oh, my God, Cecily Strong is doing, you know, and as the heir apparent in only a month of, you know, before taking over?
I think she'll do fine because I don't think that Seth Meyers is like, oh my God. Like, I've never, while I like Seth, I don't feel like that he is like the gold standard of Weekend Update hosts. And if we were going to rank the Weekend Update hosts of all time, would he be in the top five?
No.
So, I mean, it's not like, oh my God, what are we going to do after Seth Meyers leaves? We're not replacing one of the all-time greats. So, I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's interesting, all of the hubbub about him leaving. And I think he's fine, but I've always said he was always a better co-anchor than he's been solo anchor. So, I'm excited to see what Cecily Strong does when she's not in the shadow of a, you know, of a senior person and it's sort of hers to go with.
Rich, did you happen to see over CES that they did a SNL-like weekend update about the top stories in technology for Yahoo? Did you see any of that?
I did not, no. Was this Seth and Cecily or
it was
someone
not.
Else?
It was not. It was Cecily solo at CES. Ooh. Hosting Weekend Update for Yahoo. And she said, okay, and this is the top stories in technology. And she did basically a few Weekend Update jokes. And then they went to a correspondent, which I thought was very odd. And I'll post a link to this. They brought in Reverend Al Sharpton was the update guest, and it was Keenan doing Reverend Al Sharpton. It was basically a default Keenan impression of I'd really like to thank Yoohoo for having me here, like, you know, just
okay, that's
which is
funny.
But it's just, you know, it doesn't have it, it could have been Steve Harvey for
exactly,
you know,
yeah.
It's just like Keenan getting everything wrong. It was so odd that they decided to go with Reverend Al Sharpton for the update guest at CES.
What's Keenan saying no to at this point?
Sure, but I thought it was interesting to see Cecily by her solo.
Oh, interesting. Well, yeah, I would definitely love if you put a link to it in the show notes. I would definitely check it out. That seems really fun.
Okay, so then after this, speaking of really fun, we have the Indiana Jones show from basically the one that they do at like, do they still call it MGM Studios if you go to Disneyland?
That's a good question. I don't know.
That's what it was called in 1990 when I was there.
I'm going to guess no.
So... They had the Indiana Jones show where they took Nassim, and Drake was the person, the overenthusiastic Disneyland employee.
Yeah, so he's playing the guy who's watching his live show kind of, you know, go to hell in a handbasket because of the person he's doing it with. And it's sort of just, you know, she's not, it's just sort of not working and he's trying to keep it going, which I felt was unfortunately very meta in that I think Drake was actually having the same experience as the character he was playing in this.
Yeah, I think that's fair, because this, I felt like this was the bomb of the night, this sketch.
Yes, very much so. And I thought, again, I love Nassim, but this character, it wasn't, it, you know, she, you know, they're handicapping her by not giving her words to say, because we, you know, obviously she doesn't speak English, but they, she didn't have the presence and that spark to kind of sell this the way that Kristen Wiig would have done, or Kate McKinnon would clearly do these days if it was like a Russian character. So, ooh, this was tough. I absolutely give Drake credit. He stuck with it. I mean, I feel like other hosts would have started bailing by kind of winking to the camera or trying to laugh as a way to get some kind of applause or something. He stuck with it to the end, and it was brutal.
How did this get on the show?
I have no idea. I mean, it's late in the day, so maybe this played better at dress rehearsal. I very, very odd to me, or is it one of those things that they had enough production value in the sketch that they were like, I don't feel like killing it. We already spent so much money building the props. Let's just run it after update. I don't know. That was tough.
At first, I thought this was the same character that Nassim did in the Kerry Washington episode, where she was the motivational speaker that had the sound effects.
Right, right. She looked very similar.
I was like, oh, okay. Well, that was kind of funny. I kind of like that. But this really wasn't her. And I don't really understand. Do you think that Nassim wrote this sketch, that she's this character? Or somebody wrote this sketch and then they just figured Nassim could play this character?
Boy, I bet she probably wrote it with one of the writers. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I don't know how this happened. This was a tough mess.
Yeah. I also thought, and tell me if you thought this was orchestrated the way it was supposed to go or it was a misfire, that I felt like when the boulder came down, it seemed like she fell a good, 5 seconds before the boulder hit her.
I don't remember, but it sounds like a tough miscue on their part.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So then we have the sketch with I thought it was kind of a big night for Vanessa Bayer, where she returns as the poetry teacher. Now, what episode was she the poetry teacher on the first time?
Miley Cyrus.
Okay. Oh, that was a ways back. It wasn't as recent as I thought.
Yeah, still this season, but yeah, not too long ago. And basically doing the exact same sketch a second time as they often do. So, I think I liked this sketch much more than most people did the first time. This time, I'm probably on the same level as everybody else. Like, okay, yeah, uh-huh. Wasn't bad, but, wasn't particularly great.
All right, good. Yeah. I like this character a little bit.
Okay. I mean, and I don't dislike her. I just felt like we didn't bring anything new to it. So it was just, seeing the same thing, which is, cute.
I don't,
can you tell what she was saying? I wish I could. I would love to go back and try to figure out what she was actually saying, while Drake was actually, doing that, the sexual poem to her.
Yeah.
That did make me laugh, though.
I don't remember from the Miley episode, what was the premise of that sketch?
Well, I think it was exactly the same, and down to Mike O'Brien as the teacher doing the, okay, we're bringing this person in, the poetry teacher to help you guys. I think it was all pretty much the same.
Yeah. I would like to see this character. I don't want to give up on her. Let's see her in a different situation that's not teaching the kids. Like, let's see her at a party or something.
Or bring her onto Weekend Update.
Ooh, okay.
I think that could be you're right. That could be an interesting character.
Could we have her and the critic from the 1850s? what was his name? Was he Jebediah?
Jeremiah Atkinson? Yes. Jebediah Atkinson.
Yeah. Let's get the two of them together.
Yeah.
Sure. Why not? Okay.
Yeah.
So then Drake is going to sing again, and it was a song that I actually knew.
Okay. I knew it was different because it was blue, not red, so I knew we were doing something different.
There we go.
Did you like it? I can't even – I have no opinion.
Yeah. Okay, that was good. Yeah. And then he was singing, and then here comes a woman, Jenny Aiko, I believe is her name.
Yes.
There you go.
Yep. Okay.
There you go.
Is she somebody? Are we supposed to know who she is?
I think she's somebody. Okay. Cut to the comments when we're just being completely when the Jebediah Atkinsons of comments are just tearing us a new one. Next.
Yeah. I don't think, I mean, I'm taking a quick look, Googling. She's not, I don't think she says that she made her U.S. television debut just a few days ago. So apparently it's not, it seems she's probably very good, but it doesn't seem like she's some big person that we should be knowing. So,
okay. Rich, I'm really interested to know what you have to say about the return of Mourn in Miami, which also from the Miley Cyrus episode. So.
Yeah, and like right in a similar slot too, very odd. As soon as they started, my immediate thought was, uh-oh, don't do this again, because I loved it the first time. And I felt like, you know, I had the exact experience I thought I would have, which is they didn't evolve it. It was the same old thing. I was hoping to see a little more interaction of BF and Kate McKinnon's character in the pauses just to kind of go somewhere with it. So I didn't think the jokes were as funny as far as what the promos were. You know, there were some from the first time that I still remember because I thought they were so funny. This was like, it was okay. So, you know, Drake was fine. She was as good as Miley Cyrus was the first time. But I mourned it coming back because they didn't do anything with it.
Yeah. Were there any jokes that you thought were particularly good?
Boy, very little. The Jeanine Triplehorn joke was cute, and reading it because someone else posted it. Jeanine Triplehorn is back from the dead to tell us how we were wrong, and she was never really dead in the first place. I thought that was cute. Nothing else really stood out to me. I did not think it was there wasn't anything really fun about it.
BF had said, is a punch in the nuts good for you? Hell no. Actor Topher Grace is here to talk about it.
I feel like they've brought up Topher Grace both times, which is very odd. So, yeah, very odd call.
Somewhat funny lines. I mean, it seems like it's a funny exercise in the writing room to come up with what they're going to talk about on Mourn in Miami.
Right. No, you're probably right.
Yeah. But, yeah, we'll see. What could they do if they're going to bring back Mourn in Miami a third time?
I feel like you got to do more, at least with Bobby Moynihan and Kate McKinnon in the breaks, you know, and just sort of going after each other. I feel like that's the only thing I can think of, just to take it somewhere different. I don't know. That was... Yeah, it's a tough one. It was so funny the first time, but I don't know where else you can go.
I like BF's mustache.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And his look, and I still to this day love his look, his look after when they yell cut, just sort of him looking down with that just combination, just annoyance and anger and despondence. I could watch him all day long. That stuff is great.
Yeah. Kate McKinnon's singing when she broke into a total eclipse of the heart. That was funny.
Yes. That was very funny. Yeah. So
I liked Mourn in Miami, but yeah, it was just the one with Miley was better.
It was way better. Yeah, definitely.
I think that Miley Cyrus episode was good.
Yeah, solid.
It was solid. Okay. And then we had another one of the Kyle Mooney shorts here.
Yeah, this again, another sort of, I think, good neighbor sketch group kind of thing. And I thought this was probably the worst one that they've ever done. I generally like them. The ice cream headache one that they did, I thought was a little bit of a miss, but in general, I've been liking them. This, I thought, was just a total miss. I wasn't even laughing. I felt I was more staring at it than I was sort of being in the moment with them. What did you think?
Yeah, I felt, you know, it was interesting and I wanted to see where it went. But yeah, I felt like there was not a laugh during the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. So I thought that was an unfortunate way to end the show. It seems like they really did not have a lot of irons in the fire for this episode. And they were kind of, I wonder if this was maybe recorded or shot like a few weeks ago or even a few months ago. And it was sort of put in the, let's wait until we're desperate. And this was the show that was like, okay, time to break out the sketch from those guys.
You know, when we have these three in a row, and we had the same thing in December where it was Paul Rudd, John Goodman, and then ultimately the Justin Timberlake show. What did we say about the Paul Rudd episode? Was it the same sort of thing where it was like, oh, well, maybe they're just, you know, saving some bullets in the chamber for these next couple shows?
Yeah, I think so. I think that we thought it was okay and he was good, but I don't know that there was a ton of stuff that we loved. I wonder if it's them pacing themselves, or if it's more a case of, for whatever reason, the show is getting really rusty at coming back from a break. That they kind of like this. They need two or three shows to kind of start catching wind in their sails and going with it. So, yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Well, we'll see. I'm very excited for the next 2 weeks. I feel like Jonah Hill has been really, really strong in his performances, and then Melissa McCarthy, too. So I feel like we have two of the best hosts that are out there for SNL.
Yes, and I think especially Melissa McCarthy, I think, is, you know, could have been a cast member. That Groundlings training is just so strong, and that's I always look forward to that.
Do you think that we will see a return when Jonah Hill does of the kid who is 8 years old but is actually a grown-up?
Absolutely. I'm kidding! I'm eight!
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, I would love to see that again. And it will be in typical Morning Miami style. They will not evolve the sketch at all, and yet it will still make me laugh.
Now, I feel like Bill Hader was a big part of that sketch.
Yes, as the dad. Bring Bill Hader back. He can come back for that. What's he doing?
I guess not. I guess not doing anything. Yeah.
You could plug somebody. I mean, I guess, you know, does Beck Bennett end up playing the dad in that sketch?
No, Beck Bennett can't do anything. We're not letting Beck Bennett do stuff.
He was a very good Mr. Wizard.
That's it. He got to be on. He was on camera, and that's it. No, Beck Bennett.
Yeah, okay. All right. Do you think we'll see any cameos? Do you think that his good friend Leonardo DiCaprio stops by for a little cameo?
I don't see Leo being a... Has Leo ever hosted the show?
No, I don't think so, no. I can't say that absolutely, but I don't think so.
Let's see. I'll do a quick...
I'll do a quick look,
he seems like in the Johnny Depp Leo DiCaprio... lists of, hold on, that my number one search result is banned SNL hosts. What?
Is Leo
banned, or is this just a,
I don't see him. He is not, unless he did a cameo, I don't see anything on him.
Yeah. I don't think so.
And I say that tongue in cheek. I don't think there's any chance, unless a pre-taped segment, if it was something that Jonah Hill was pulling out all the stops and asked for a favor, maybe he does that. But I don't think so.
Did you happen to see over the weekend that Bill Murray did a Ask Me Anything on Reddit?
I did. I haven't actually read it yet, but I heard about it.
Yeah.
Anything of note?
That Bill Murray thought that the last cast of SNL he thought was the most talented since the first ever season of SNL.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Not too shabby.
So that's pretty good. So I don't think it doesn't look like Leo has ever hosted, and it doesn't look like Leo is banned either.
Oh, good.
Yes. Okay. I don't know why that was the top search result if you search for Leonardo DiCaprio as Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, it's an odd. Okay.
Yeah.
Someone's got some good SEO going.
Sure. okay. So so next week we will be. Okay. So we'll you and I will need to figure out exactly what time we're going to do that. Of course, next Sunday is the big Rob is a Podcast roast, but maybe we'll do that Monday.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
All right.
Can't take away from the roast.
Yes. Yes. So it should be
very exciting.
It should be very hilarious. Almost as funny as as Drake at the Indiana Jones ride at MGM Studios. All right. Rich, did you have a sketch of the week?
Boy, that is a tough one. I was thinking about that myself. What do you say is the sketch of the week? I can't even call it on this one. No, I don't. I don't have a sketch of the week.
Oh my God.
What would you say was the best sketch of the night?
Sketch of the week. I guess I would go with I think you have to go with either the monologue, go with hip hop classics, or I think then Morning Miami just for nostalgia.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, I guess the Before They Were Stars, maybe. I don't know. That says a lot about the episode. There's nothing I can pull on this one.
A forgettable night.
Yes.
Yeah. Not bad, competent, but forgettable.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
But onward and upward, bigger and better stuff to come in January.
Yeah, and if you don't ever look at the show page for these shows, you just listen to the audio version, I do have the embed codes for a number of the sketches. So a few of the sketches that we talked about, I will embed them on Rob Has a Website, so you can check them out after the fact. All right?
Good.
Okay.
I'll check it out.
Now, Rich, is that your hat barking?
Exactly. I'm not saying that I wear two dogs on my head, but if I did, it's time to feed them.
All right, Rich, we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
All right, take care. All right, everybody, there you have it. That was Rich Tackenberg to talk some SNL here with us on our weekly SNL recap. So very, very big week here on Rob Has a Podcast. Of course, we have the ongoing search to find the new Miss Survivor 2014. First round voting is happening now. Go to MissSurvivor.com and cast your vote for your top three Miss Survivor candidates. And then this Monday, later on today, I'm recording this Monday morning, I'm going to have a reunion with the cast of Survivor Pearl Islands. It's been over 10 years since their season aired, and it's just a little past 10 years exactly from the finale of Survivor Pearl Islands. We're about a month out from the 10-year anniversary of the finale. So we are going to talk with Sandra, Johnny Fairplay, Burton, Krista, and Rupert live here tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. If that already happened when you listen to this, it'll be up in the archives at robhasthewebsite.com. And then also, we are going to cover a new show this week for the very first time. We're going to cover the show Opposite Worlds on Sci-Fi, which is sort of like a Big Brother where half the people are in the past and half the people are in the future. So we're going to check that out and watch it and then podcast about it with a post-show recap live at 11 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday and Wednesday, where we might not do two shows every week. Don't get used to it. But for the premiere week, that's what we're going to do. So a lot to talk about. And I also have an interview with the host of Opposite Worlds, Luke Tipple, that I had done on Friday. So you can check that out as well on robhasawebsite.com. So a lot to do. Very busy week here. So I hope you enjoy all the podcasts. If you're not subscribed, make sure you are. Go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes, or you could subscribe in any of your favorite podcatchers. It's going to be a very fun week here. And be sure to let me know in the comments, did you love the Drake or did you hate the Drake? Let me know what you thought and tell us what you thought about the show here, of course, as well. Have a great week, everybody. I'll talk to you again soon. Bye.